This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 6th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, some say the Doha round of talks is in jeopardy. The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture says the pace of the Farm Bill negotiations is good. And what's in the name? Should USDA change its name? I'll have more on these stories a bit later in the program. And then I'll tell you what the crop scientists at the University of Illinois are saying about those big yellow spots that showed up in many central Illinois soybean fields over the past 2 weeks. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat for the soft red at $6.50. They were up 9.5 cents today. September's at 6.10, up 6, and December futures at 6.22.5, up 6.5 for the day. Corn futures leading the gains, up 10.5 today at 3.34.5 in the July. September's at 3.41.5, up 9 cents. And December corn at 3.52, up 9.5. July soybean futures up 10.25 at 8.64.75. August at 8.69.25, up 9.25. November beans up 9.5 cents at $8.96. July bean meal futures for the day up a dollar even at $233.90. July bean oil for the afternoon at $37.13, settled 45 higher. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at $114.70, 100 weight up $2.52.5. August live cattle at $92.50, up $1.80, and the October futures up $1.52.5, up $96.90 for the afternoon. July lean hogs down 80 cents at $71.32.5. The outside markets, nearby August crude oil at $72.79 a barrel, up 98 cents for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 47 points higher at 13,612.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Friday afternoon is Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, let's start in the Mercantile Exchange, where there were some pretty good gains across the cattle floor today. What's the deal there?
A lot of it goes back to that cash box beef finally started to bounce here. We saw those boxes up about $7 today in Nebraska, and that versus last week. That helped. We also got word from the pits that we saw some fund covering of short positions, and then maybe even some new longs came into the cattle pits after this last month of just steadily eroding prices.
Yeah, eroding prices at the Mercantile Exchange or at the board or both?
Yeah, you know, you just couldn't get a cash trade established, and a lot of the livestock people and meat people we work with through the news wires were really nervous about the summer beef demand, especially after the first holiday. And it just didn't kick off like it should have, and it looked like pork and especially poultry kind of booted the featuring out of the beef, and it got a lot more shelf space and a lot more retail counter space and for pork and poultry versus the beef. So they were pretty nervous about the cash market, and the Mercantile Exchange reacted to that earlier this summer.
Now take me over to the Chicago Board of Trade, where we'd like to say, probably you might like to say, that the wheat was leading things, but it sure looked like the corn was the one that was in the driver's seat today, huh?
You can't have what you want all the time. That's the truth. Yeah, the corn definitely was in the driver's seat. We did talk to Chicago after the close, and they suspected it was lighter volume than normal because of the holiday. Yeah, it was a nice close because Dease Futures was able to get about a penny and a quarter higher versus last week. We didn't make new weekly highs because of how high we started out on Monday before the holiday, but it was a nice week for corn. I think I would like to see a repeat of this next week when we have full volume and we have the weather not so far out, because the Chicago guys at EFG thought that probably 70% of trade was weather-related, and especially the south, the northwest part of the Corn Belt, Minnesota especially, and talk up there was that Minnesota, from the previous week, lost about 5 points in condition. In other words, they're very poor and poor, went from 3 to 8 last week, and they're very nervous about this ridge moving out of Idaho and hitting the Dakotas and especially Minnesota. So it'd be nice to see full volume and the weather maps only, 4 or 5 days out showing this ridge coming over that area of the country and the markets up. But we'll take what we got this week.
And then as you take a look at that corn market and the wheat market too, do you think there's really much strength left in it?
Well, there's definitely a battle line being drawn, and the Informa numbers kind of showed that today. You know, they came out with a 156.6 yield, and they threw out to the market what a lot of analysts had thrown out after the acreage report, that we were going to go well over 13 billion bushels and that we were going to be able to get up to and maybe even a little over that 2 billion bushel ending stocks number. I think we're still in the camp that it's a little bit more like 1993. When we talk to folks in Ohio and eastern Indiana and the folks down in Kansas and other key producing areas, we've got some real problems out there that maybe won't show up for quite some time. And certainly we're not going to fight City Hall. We're going to let the trade however they want to price it. But we're going to manage that risk by being a lot more frugal with our cash sales if we have bins. And we'll use a lot more bought puts here in the corn if we get retracements. Like everybody seems to be hovering or starting to hover around the idea that if we can get another week of weather, the 99-cent break in Dease corn, 38% retracement off that break, puts you right in that 373, 375 level for Dease futures. At that point, we'll look at really hard getting some puts bought. But if we have bin space on the farm, it's going to be very hard for us to recommend any more cash sales at this point if everybody's trading a 2 billion bushel carryover.
And that's for the new crop. We approach this in the old crop, we're approaching that time where futures tend to really start to fall off. What are you suggesting for producers that have old crop in the bin? Are they just going to hold it right on through the next year?
No, I think they'll probably hold it for another couple months, and maybe not even that long, maybe another month. One thing that you do have going for you if you're a producer with old crop corn right now is the DTN National Corn Index is down to around 310 to 312. That's the same price it was when we made those highs back in 2004. It would seem to us, especially when we see the profit margins coming back for the ethanol industry because of what's happened in the corn price going down and the unleaded gas price going up, and you throw on top of that this week's export sales showing almost 80 million bushels of corn sold, it would seem to us that those old 2004 highs of that 310, 312 national corn cash price can hold here, especially for the next 30 or 45 days.
Tell me about the wheat market at this point, up 9.5 cents for the day.
It was rougher on the opening, and it was profit-taking. It was folks thinking that the Southern Plains probably would get a little bit more harvesting done, but then it seemed as though more news came out about the weather in Europe. It looks like the French crop is not going to get any drying out pattern like they were hoping, and that's a big issue in the next few weeks. As well, the spring wheat crop you saw was really a leader in that wheat pit, unlike normal, and that goes back to that ridge. If we see 100-plus degree temperatures in the Plain States and North and South Dakota, you're probably looking at a much worse yield than you probably would have thought of last week.
Then we better wrap it up with the soybeans. They were up 10.25 in the nearby July, 9.5 cents for the Noves. They settled at $8.96 a day.
Real good week for the beans. Not as good on the day, but a real good week for the beans. And one of the things that might have hurt the beans were the extremely heavy deliveries, and also we saw the CIF market. The cash beans were quoted earlier this morning about 5 cents under the August futures, being under the Board of Trade price at the Gulf. It's been about a month since we've seen that, so maybe took a little bit of a shine off the beans on the day trade.
Are you fearful, like some of the rest of our analysts, that there are just so many beans out in the countryside and so many total bushels corn, wheat, and beans that the basis for the beans just cannot hold up, despite the fact that it's already very wide?
Well, that's the thing. That's probably the best thing you've got going for you right now is it's already widened out, and they've already priced in the cash basis market, we think, that 320 to 350 million bushel ending stocks number. And so if you keep that ending stocks number under 300 million bushels, if you do have a soft basis or it goes wide again, probably won't last very long. And that kind of goes for both corn and beans because the demand really has stayed very, very strong.
Yeah. One final question. Doug Yoder is our guest this week on Commodity Week. I know you're making the drive over. Don't speed too fast. Trying to get over here by 4:30 to record that. What should we ask him about risk management? He handles that for Illinois Farm Bureau and some of the risk management side of the marketplace.
Well, there's a pretty good report out this week from the OECD and the United Nations FAO, and they've come to grips with the idea that the biofuel demand is not going to go anywhere as long as there is a strong demand for energies. And it would make sense to me that do we need to revisit this idea that there is another move higher in terms of plateau for demand in the grains and oil seeds because the energies, or does he feel like it's kind of like the past, where the market giveth, the market taketh away because prices go up too fast, but is this time different?
I have to follow up on that. You mean another plateau higher than the 250 to 350 range?
No. I think we're still talking about that $3 level. You know, is that probably fair value now in these corn for the next 5 or 10 years?
Okay, I understand. Well, we'll talk with him about that during the Commodity Week program that you can hear at 11:30, and I know you're going to hustle over here to be with us in studio.
You betcha. I'll put the radar detector and be over in a little bit.
Okay, thanks much.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Yep, Mike Zuzlow's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. He'll be making his way to the studios here in Urbana over the next hour and a half or so, a couple hours. We'll get the program for Commodity Week recorded about 4:30 this afternoon. Doug Yoder from Illinois Farm Bureau, risk management specialist, of course, I told you, will be our guest during that program. Matt Bennell will be up from Windsor Grain, and Clayton Pope will be along with us as well. You can hear it tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time right here on the radio station. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website. What's the address? You know it. It's willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, here's the weather forecast from Mike Sola. He says tonight, mostly clear skies, some areas of patchy fog developing overnight, lows between 60 and 65. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs ranging from 88 in eastern Indiana to 94 in northwestern Illinois. The extended forecast, a cold front, will bring showers and thunderstorms to the area beginning on Monday in northwestern Illinois. They'll continue until late in the work week. In today's agricultural news, a deal to free up world trade could be delayed several years if no progress is made by the end of this year. U.S. Trade Representative Susan Swab says there's a real sense that the Doha could go into hibernation for several years to come if a deal isn't finished this year. While she didn't specifically name India or Brazil as wanting the talks to fail, Swab did say the United States was surprised at how rigid and inflexible they were in Potsdam. Well, many in Washington would like to see the new farm bill completed this month, but U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johann says he's content with the pace of the negotiations so far, even if the bill hasn't been sorted out as quickly as some would like. The secretary cautions that it might not be done until the fall. Senator Charles Schumer is calling on Washington to create the Office of Import Czar to protect the United States from unsafe products following a spat of harmful imports from China. A staunch critic of China, Schumer wants the czar situated in the Commerce Department and with direct oversight over the safety of imported goods, a task he says the Food and Drug Administration and other federal bodies have failed to perform properly. And lawmakers in Congress have passed a renewable fuel standards calling for the production of 36 billion gallons of ethanol by 2022, with more than half of that coming from cellulosic ethanol rather than the current feedstock of choice, corn. The figure is 6 times more than the current production and 5 times more than the 7.5 billion gallon standard situated for the year 2012. And finally today, what's in a name? Over the years, there have been proposals put forth to change the name of the United States Department of Agriculture. Some of those suggestions have included Department of Food and Agriculture and the Department of Food and Agriculture and Rural Resources. When asked if the name of the U.S. Department of Agriculture should be changed to the Department of Rural Affairs, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton jumped right onto it, calling it a great idea she would consider. Changing the name of the U.S. Department of Agriculture to better reflect its wide-ranging mandate is an idea that has never caught on. USDA's most influential constituencies, the farmers and ranchers of this nation, have resisted the change. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana AM 580. Remember, you can visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can listen to MP3 files, sign up for our podcast, and our weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Well, up next, many central Illinois soybean fields are showing signs of stress. Unfortunately, there aren't any really good explanations for those yellow spots. In the past couple of weeks, many people have noticed medium to large patches of stunted and yellow soybean plants in their central Illinois fields. Terry Niblack says a limited survey of 32 similar patches in Champaign and Piatt counties in east central Illinois revealed the following. Only about half of the patches were associated with the obvious low spots in the field. 100% of the plants dug up in those patches showed evidence of soybean cyst nematode infestation, but so did the non-symptomatic plants outside the patches. Niblack is a nematologist. 100% of the plants, she says, observed showed evidence of severe root growth restriction and root rotting compared with their non-symptomatic cohorts outside the patches, and unlike in previous years, there wasn't much other disease in these patches. So what gives? Are these patches caused by SCN? The answer is a dissatisfying could-be, writes the University of Illinois Extension nematologist in the July 5 edition of the Bulletin. You can see that one online at www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. Terry Niblack says these symptoms are classic for SCN in the southeastern states, but that we don't usually see them so clearly in the Midwest. The soil fertility specialist at the U of I offers another possible set of explanations for the yellow spots in the soybean fields of central Illinois at this time of year. It, too, is online in the Bulletin. Fabian Fernandez says it's not likely to be a lack of fertilizer, but rather a combination of the early dry weather stress followed by the recent growth spurt. Now, that was brought on by the rainfall in June. He suggests a couple of things. First, the above-ground portion of the bean plant in these spots may be outpacing the growth of the root, so fewer nutrients than necessary are making their way up the plant. The other is that not enough nitrogen-fixing nodules have set yet, and once again, that has caused a shortage of nutrients. In either case, Fernandez says, as growth conditions continue to be favorable, the root system will catch up, and the deficiencies should disappear. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
It's a Friday afternoon. Time now to take a look at the cash grain market. And Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us, as he does every Friday. Hi, Bruce. How are you today?
Great.
Well, let's talk a little bit about condition. And we heard just the report there about some yellow spots showing up in bean fields across east central Illinois. You'd be in one of those prime areas, I would think. Farmers talking to you about it?
We're seeing that out there, and I was glad to hear that report because it was kind of a concern on just what those spots were. On the beans and a little bit of talk and concern about that. Corn conditions just look fantastic. I can't believe how these plants have jumped in size, have that beautiful deep green color you couldn't ask for much more right now.
And a lot of tassels out in the area.
A lot of tassels out in the area. You know, we've got some warm weather in the forecast for next week, but nothing so hot that it looks like it'd be a pollination problem. There's more rain in the forecast for next week, so in our area, things look great.
Silks are ready to come out or on their way out. Any clipping going on? Have you heard anything about the western corn rootworm in your area?
I haven't heard anything, but boy, there's been an awful lot of planes out spraying this last week or so.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of planes up, and like the kids get a kick out of that, don't they? They watch those planes come up. I had to explain to them what they were up to. We were playing ball in Mattoon yesterday. Tell me a little bit about the cash grain market in your area and basis.
Okay. Basis-wise, corn has been pretty quiet. The processor is been steady on the corn. SIF numbers have gained a little bit of ground. We've seen a little bounce back maybe in some of the rail. Beans overall lower on both corn and soybeans. Cash movement on corn, when we saw things broke back over the last week after the report, it put a pretty much of a halt on corn. First day or so we might have bought a little bit, but then it put the woe on that. Now after we came back yesterday and today and have rallied back some, we've seen a little bit of selling into it. Beans, a little bit of scales up selling into it. Last day or so we've seemed to have bought a fair amount of soybeans. And wheat harvest came and went in the last week here.
Pretty short in this part of the world. Not many wheat fields. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the end of the month of July or the last part of July and the early time in August. Usually that's when futures really start to nosedive in the corn market. And I know you can't give too much away, but what are your expectations as we head into the 15th, 16th of July and then on out into the early part of August?
Well, I think I've seen some reports from Louisiana in the Delta where they were talking about maybe their first new crop corn coming on around the 15th of July. Now, that'll be 105-day corn that went in real early. It's probably going to be like the first week of August before it really gets going. Mississippi, traditionally, it's first, second week in August when they start seeing some of their corn come off and hit those southern processors. And we run a fair amount of trains down to, like, Collins, Mississippi of the poultry market. So they'll be having their local corn there and won't be needing a train out of Paxton.
Yeah, so train value should drop pretty sharply, I would think. If there are more corn acres than there are in that southern region from Cairo down to Memphis or thereabouts, that it might put a real damper on the export market as well.
Right, and you're going to see a real push on that, on moving it out. And it's not just more corn acres that came from beans. It's corn that came from cotton. You know, it's bad enough to take a bean acre to a corn acre and have four times as many bushels if you have an acre that's been in cotton for years and hasn't even been through the grain handling stream, and all of a sudden it's taken up space in grain logistics.
Yeah.
That even accentuates it. Now, one thing rail-wise, it's a little bit of a hope we'll keep our fingers crossed on. With housing back and auto sales back, it's terrible for the folks in those industries, but it is making power a little bit more available, so it looks like the rail cars are moving real well right now.
Anything else to add before I get your basis bids for the day?
Beautiful day out here, and should be a good weekend, and hope everybody can enjoy it.
All
but
right.
Basis numbers, or our bids right now, we are at 327 at Paxton for July corn, 321 for new crop. New crop 08's all the way up to 368. Beans, 846 for new crop.
All right, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Hey, Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, where he serves as the manager. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg will join us at that time from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Up next, your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Rob Blagojevich is accusing House Speaker Michael Madigan of abandoning the Democratic Party's values. Blagojevich says Madigan, the head of the Illinois Democratic Party, has chosen to side with Republicans in the debate over a state budget. The governor wants a $5 billion increase in state spending on education and health care. Madigan favors a $1 billion increase, with schools getting much of the new money. Blagojevich said today that the House Speaker should, in his words, stop being a Republican. Blagojevich may be blaming Madigan and the House Democrats, but they're not the only roadblock. The Democratic-controlled Senate hasn't approved his budget either. Lawmakers were supposed to pass a budget by the end of May, but they've been deadlocked for weeks. The Illinois State Fire Marshal will lose 2 weeks' pay but keep his job after he admitted he drove drunk in a state-owned vehicle. 60-year-old David Foreman was sentenced this week to a year of court supervision in order to pay a $1,220 fine for driving under the influence. Authorities say police stopped Foreman back in May for failure to signal, and because Foreman's passenger wasn't wearing a safety belt, the arresting officer noticed the smell of alcohol. Foreman was appointed fire marshal last year. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange's parent company has again sweetened its bid to buy the Chicago Board of Trade. The CME's move comes just 3 days ahead of the shareholder vote that will determine the fate of that long-planned acquisition. Police say a 21-year-old man from Upper Michigan shot and killed Indiana State Police Master Trooper David Rich yesterday along a highway in northern Indiana near Wabash. Police say Rich stopped for what he thought was a stranded motorist. The man, Joseph Voltaggio Jr., fatally shot himself afterwards. If you're not seeing cicadas in your backyard this year, you're not alone. According to experts and cicada watchers, turnout of the noisy red-eyed bugs was patchier and in some cases smaller than expected across the northern Midwest. Entomologists say the periodical cicadas were out in force in older Chicago suburbs, but newer areas like Naperville or Batavia were curiously quiet. Experts say that's because those areas have seen lots of growth and habitat loss since the last cicada cycle in 1990. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Well, I managed to light up the phone lines. I thought that might be the case when we had that little discussion about the western corn rootworm, and we were talking about those folks that were up in the plains and they were crop dusting. I pretty much knew that that probably was not the case for the western, but I wanted to check and see what was happening. Of course, it's for fungicide. I'm going to assume that's for gray leaf spot. But don't quote me on that one. Now, let's talk about the agricultural weather forecast for the upcoming week. Steve Hilberg joins us this afternoon from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, where he serves as director. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather over the next few days.
Well, it looks pretty pretty good, pretty typical summer around here, and actually good for agriculture in general. We're going to see temperatures warming up over the weekend and also dew points climbing. We're down today into the 60s for the most part, and upper 50s in northern Illinois. So it's a very comfortable day out there, if not warm, but we'll see those dew points creeping up into the mid and upper 60s and perhaps even low 70s by the end of the weekend. And then we'll have a pretty good chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout Illinois and Indiana the first half of next week before another front comes through and brings in some cooler, drier air. So looks like warm weather and a good chance of rain over the next several days.
And then if you get a little wider, we've talked a little bit about on this program, Minnesota having some problems trying to get a little extra rainfall up there. What's that ridge going to do?
Well, it's been very spotty up in Minnesota. And Minnesota sort of this yin-yang type thing where some areas have gotten plenty of rain and other areas during the month of June were less than half of normal. Some parts of Minnesota will get some rain out of this next system, but then following that, looks like cooler, drier air is going to push into the northern Midwest, and right after that, it looks like it could be next weekend before they have another chance for a good shot of rain up in the northern Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. They'll have a shot with this next front coming through, and then they'll probably have to wait a week before another good chance of rain.
Minnesota, of course, the number four corn-producing state in the nation. Do you happen to have the first run of the numbers from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center?
Yeah, we've ran those on the 2nd of July, and right now for the entire Corn Belt, includes the Dakotas and Kansas and all the states that are growing corn in the Midwest, we're looking at a median value right now of 151 bushels an acre. Illinois is running about 161, Indiana 149, and we were talking about Minnesota, they're at 160. The rain we had the last 10 days or so really reversed any kind of trend, a downward trend in yield predictions on this. And we need to remind everybody, this is just a weather-driven model, so we're not talking any disease or insects or any other thing. So based on the weather, it's been very favorable. Biggest jump was in Kentucky, where we saw an increase of about 5 bushels an acre. So things are pretty stable, and yields are looking pretty good at this point from the rains we've had.
Yeah, and the numbers for the soybeans, too?
Yes, we do. The soybeans right now, as of July 2nd, they are running for the soybean region here in the Midwest about 44.8 bushels an acre, and median value for Illinois is about 46.4, and Indiana 47.5. And again, there were some declines in Minnesota and Iowa where it's been has been dry and the rain's been more spotty. And in Missouri, Illinois, and other parts of the Midwest where we got rain, we saw some slight increases. So we'll continue to see the weather variations.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us
today.
All
right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. Our guest this week, Doug Yoder of the Illinois Farm Bureau. He's a risk management specialist. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Should be posted by about 6 o'clock Central Time on this Friday evening. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good weekend.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.